following is a digital media production.
Yeah, we got a good one today. L. Clay is in the guest host spot. We got motherfucking Boom Pacino. He plays Mello on Respect Life. And if you respect your life, you will tune in.
Time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon, crazy's Dominican, you know, Vladimir, come on, yo, my cool man from the county of Dade, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, we are back. This is Damian Lemon. This is In the Conversation. On my right hand side, we got
L. Clay.
Ah.
How you doing? I'm back.
We got a guest host, L. Clay, back in the building. On my left-hand side, we got
the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad, in the building.
Oh, shit.
We back.
There you go. Vlad is on the West Coast. That's our other co-host. Vlad is on the West Coast creating the next great sitcom.
No doubt.
So he'll be out there for a minute doing his thing. But we got a guest today. Somebody I'm excited about, you know.
Yeah.
Cracking up here. Shelby, is it my shit? Might be my headphones. All right,
sound good over here.
Okay, cool. Somebody I'm excited about. If you've been listening to the podcast for the last at least month, we've definitely all referenced this web series that I don't know how it came to. I don't know if somebody tweeted about this shit. I just scrambled upon it on YouTube. But the shit is phenomenal. Binged watched it. This might have been even before the Revenant ass Hurricane Joaquin. Was it Joaquin? Which was the last?
Yeah, that was Joaquin.
It was Joaquin, right?
The snow?
Yeah, it was before the snow. I binged this shit before the snow, so I still had options. I was in the world. I could take the shit was great. It was good. I was enjoying it. I was calling everybody. No, yo, can you watch this shit? Let me know, Blase Skip.
Yeah.
And we got the main character, I'm about to use a word that I don't use. What do they say to the protagonist? I'm about to get my Elvis Mitchell. Right. What's my man inside the act? James Lipton. On.
Okay.
We got Mello from Respect Life. Give it up for Mello. Mello, Boom Pacino. We got Boom Pacino.
Yes, sir.
Who plays Mello.
Yep.
Yes.
From Respect Life.
Thanks for having me.
Peace, no man. Doubt, no Thanks doubt. For coming Peace. Through, man. I'm excited. We even bought fancy cognac that passed on. How you doing though, man?
I'm doing well.
Yeah?
Yep.
How's it been going, man? Respect Life is buzzing. It's killing shit right now.
Yeah, it's going well. Yep.
So tell the audience, you know what I'm saying, for the people who haven't caught up on it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Tell them a little bit about the show and you know what I'm saying.
Well, Respect Life is a web series on YouTube right now that it's pretty much touching on I say everyday life in America, man. It's like a mirror to America, man. Like, you know, the harsh realities, some of the mild, subtle realities, but it's definitely hitting on different stereotypes and ignorance, the good and the bad, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly of America.
No doubt.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt. I think, you know, a lot of what we talk about on here, we talk a lot about black fathers.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always funny because when D told me about the show and he told me what it was about, but then when I cracked it open, you know what I'm saying, the first scene is you and your daughter who you know what I'm saying, she was at her mom's but she lives with you.
Yep.
It was a whole black father's moment. It was by surprise to me. It was like, hold up. It's a little different than what D told me.
Absolutely.
I didn't plug that part because of fatherhood too, son. Yeah, nah, that's exactly how it opens up. So it kinda it ties you, like, you look responsible, brings this, like, an emotional undercurrent, like, okay.
We trust you right away.
Exactly. Or at least we know you got something to live for.
Yeah.
So why'd you feel that was important to kick it off with that?
Well, I mean, I feel it was important just because that a lot of that particular issue doesn't get highlighted in the community as much as, you know, the single mother. Of course, we have that a lot. You know, I've grew up in a single parent home as well, you know what I mean? But there's certain situation where the father is definitely the primary guardian, and it doesn't get highlighted enough. So I just wanted to highlight that. So
are you actually a father?
Yes, ma'am. That's my daughter.
That's your daughter. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask that too. Like, how many of the cast are people just from the community, and then how many of these people are cats that actually do some acting? Because performances, some cats are like, everybody's got a like a some integrity to it, but there's some cats you'd be like, well, he's acting right here. But there's other people where they just jump off the screen as certain characters that are just fucking characters.
Nah, yeah, well, none of us act before. Not to my knowledge. I don't think none of us. For the most part, it's pretty much a lot of the guys from my hood that, you know, I came up with.
Yeah.
And I know their characteristics, so I figured when it was time for me to start the series, I knew when I wrote the script, I knew, like, all right, cool, I need you to play this part for me.
Yeah.
Internalize the script, but just put it in your own way. And once you get the script down pat, once you learn it, don't go line for line. Don't read off the script when we're doing the show.
Okay.
Just, you know, put your own twist on it, and that's what we did.
Okay. So you were doing the casting, because I was, because my favorite character is the girl who was holding her man down.
Yeah, yeah. Melanie. Shout out to Melanie.
Melanie was, don't trust nobody in the crib. Yeah. Don't come through.
But that was another thing, too, that kind of flipped the game a little bit by showing a girl that held it down.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. At a major level, not on some sidewalk shit.
Yep. Yeah.
So that was another flip in that.
Yeah.
Shout out to Melanie.
Yeah. I ain't going to spoil it, but, you know, who actually turned out to be realer than most in that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All the way 100.
Mm-hmm.
And became the object of a crush. That was wild funny. It was like, I'm going to marry Shorty.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, man. So what was the process? How long did it take to create Respect Life? What got you to that? Because I also know from, you know, watching the Respect Life web series, I seen that you rap as well.
Yeah.
You know, and then I seen some of your stuff. It was from like years ago.
Right.
But you nice though. You know what I mean? Because typically when you see somebody transition into a whole different
lane.
Realm. Yeah. It was because shit wasn't really working on the other side.
Yeah. I saw one video, you had the whole hood behind you.
The whole hood. That shit looked like a Verizon commercial. Yeah. Nigga, everybody was the landlords in the back. But I got two questions on that. One, where are you now with rap?
Mm-hmm.
And then two, how did you get from there to Respect Life?
Well, as far as the music is concerned, I'm still doing, you know, I love music. I love rap, you know what I mean? So that's my heart right there. And I'm putting together a couple of things right now. And as far as this series is concerned, the transition just came from me. One, I was dealing with a director, my guy, a friend of mine. His name is Oliver Corvette.
Okay.
He directs a couple of my videos. And I asked him, like, you know, I wanted to do a movie, you know what I mean? So I'm like, you know, what would it take for me to just do a small little, no feature film, just something that, you know, that I could do in the hood. And he's like, yo, well, you know, get this camera right here. Get you this little laptop,
mm-hmm.
get you this editing program, man. You know, that'll just get you started. And I followed his, what he asked me to do. And, you know, I started directing videos for local guys in the hood or whatever, you know what I'm saying? And when I found myself getting better, you know, dudes started paying me for their videos. Like, I started to be a sought out director, you know what I mean? So I'm like, I think I'm good enough now to start this little movie thing. So I tried, me and a friend of mine, we wrote a short film, and we never did it. And I tried it again, and I casted guys and all of that, and we just never did it. So the beginning of last year, I just said, like, you know, if I don't do this shit now, it's never gonna happen. I started, I wrote it, and, you know, I got my guys together, and, you know, I just like, yo, play this part for me, help me out, da-da-da, and we did it. And it was we all had them jitters, because it was like, you know, it was the first episode, and it worked.
Where did the interest, like, come from? Like, were you seeing something, you're like, fuck this, the portrayal of a people like me is not really represented? Or did it come out of frustration? Or was it just like a passion that you always had to kind of like create, you know, a piece of work like this?
It pretty much came from like a passion. I wanted to do it. I didn't know that it was going to become a situation. Like, you know, like I said, we just, you know, I just came up with these little ideas and the characters, and I didn't know it was going to become a situation like this. None of us knew that it was going to be the situation that it is right now. You know what I'm saying? So it just came from a passion, and I just put it together. And I had the equipment. I had the mic. I had the camera. I had the editing program. I did everything myself. So I didn't have to wait for nobody to, you know, I just did it everything myself. And that was the beauty of just, you know, me being able to have that type of freedom. I wrote it, and my guys were on deck for me, and we just did it.
Were you writing episode by episode, or did you write the whole arc?
Nah, we wrote, sorry, not to cut you off. Yeah, I wrote episode by episode, and that pretty much gave me the freedom to bring new characters in as we went. Like, I would have like certain Like, I always had the season finale.
Yeah.
That was in my head. I had that already laid out. I knew what I was going to do with that way before. But for the most part, I'll be like, maybe up one episode, two episodes. But for the most part, I'm going by episode. I'm guerrilla style and everything. You know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah. Right.
That's what's up. You got a question?
No, I was just replying there. I was listening.
Oh, all right. Ali's also a filmmaker.
No doubt. And that was one of the things that I was looking at, you know, and it's good to hear what you said about how you just went and you got it and you did it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because out of the genre of web series, you know what I'm saying, a lot of cats get a lot of parts, lots of parts of it wrong, especially mm-hmm. the audio.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And Respect Life is clean. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you.
And for, like, even, you know, some of the other web series, they might have a story, but then, you know, some production-wise, it didn't come all the way together. Mm-hmm. And on that end, y'all guys held it down. So
thank you.
That's what kept D in it, because, you know, D don't fuck with the bad audio.
The bad audio take you out of it. I'm sure, as somebody that does editing, that's mm-hmm. probably one of the first things you look at. Like,
absolutely. Absolutely.
Shit sound crazy.
Yeah, I'm real critical, too.
Exactly. You
know, mm-hmm.
I got, let me ask, I'm sure you get the comparison with Money and Violence. What would you say just to somebody that has a, like, you know, it's becoming a genre now. Mm-hmm. But what would you say is the point of difference between Respect Life and Money and Violence, in your opinion?
Well, I think it's definitely like, well, I can definitely understand the comparison because we are another Brooklyn-based web series, yeah. Of course. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, it's a certain element of violence in our series as well. But I think once you get past a few episodes, I think that you can definitely distinguish the two. They totally different. You know what I'm saying? Like, one is based on a totally different situation, and Respect Life is based on so many different walks of life. You know what I'm saying? I think that we hit on things that they not hitting on, and I think they hitting on things that we don't hit on. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. You know, for the most part, I just think that the differences is the two different writers. You know what I'm saying? Like, uh-huh. You know, we both different. We both probably come from the same, of course, Brooklyn, whatever, but we have two different focal points and views of how we see the same. We can look at the same thing and just see two different things. You know what I'm saying? So that's pretty much what we, you know, separate.
And I think from watching both, you know what I'm saying, with Money and Violence, they definitely come from the perspective of somebody who robs.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And with Respect Life, it comes, like you said, it's spread out across the board mm-hmm. With different kinds of hustles. And again, and another part is it's like they represent a Flatbush
mm-hmm.
type of vibe, and y'all definitely in Bed-Stuy.
Absolutely.
As far as, you know, are you from Bed-Stuy?
Yeah.
Okay, because like I said, I live in Bed-Stuy, L lives in Bed-Stuy, and it's like,
that's what's up.
You start to see all of that. Yeah. Oh, shit, that's right.
That's why that's why I kept watching.
All right.
I was waiting to see your block.
Yeah, I saw my block. I was like, oh my God. I was like, I'm just going to start walking around to be like a random, like extra. A walkthrough.
It's all good.
Yep. Are there any movies like that you're like any gangster movies you're kind of inspired by? Because it was the last episode I watched. You had this moment where it's like a guy in the trunk, and you were like very. It was like a Greek tragedy style. Like you did this to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to.
Absolutely.
But I gotta do it. Yeah. It was like very like you were. It was a long like you know.
It wasn't. Moment. It wasn't an easy kill because that's a dude that I Mello. He came. He knew him from a while ago, and it's just it's a touchy situation because you know it's like either me or you, or like you or my cousin. It's like you know, it's like I'm in the middle of this thing, and I would hate to do that, but I see you not trying to. You not even like you just with it. Like yo, listen, man, f you and f your cousin. I'm like, damn, you know, you here, you in the trunk. So
it gave me like Godfather vibes, and I was like,
yeah, those are. I'm inspired by. It's a lot of movies, man. I'm inspired by a lot of comedy. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, even though we don't got comedy in our, you know what I mean? And Respect
you,
Life. But
you do. It's a lot of comedy.
It is.
It's a lot of characters.
Now that I think, absolutely. But I'm inspired by, like, a lot of different movies, man. I could go on forever. You know what I'm saying? Like, the hood joints, of course. You know, Menace, the Juice, the...
Yeah.
All of that. You know what I'm saying? I'm inspired by a lot of different movies. So.
Who's your favorite director?
My favorite director? Oh, man. I can't say like I'm a Tarantino fan. I definitely like him. I like Cube. I like what Cube do. You know what I'm saying? Like I love I love him. You know what I'm saying? It's a bunch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nah, that's what's up.
It's funny with the characters. Like when you say it's comedy in there. Another thing with the characters, it's like because you have so many different ranges of who's in it, and from top down to the bottom, And you got the little dirty cat who sell weed, Kareem, and then he kind of fell off. The fat dude.
Oh, yeah, 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 Kareem.
It's
yeah.
always one of them.
Every hood
can't get right. You know what
every
I'm saying?
Every hood.
Always want to hustle, but just can't keep it together.
Everybody hate Kareem.
Then you got the instigator. My favorite is the instigator cat that act like he ain't. So I'm saying, what's going
braids.
On with your man, though?
Oh, which one?
With the braids.
With the braids.
Oh, wrong.
He was hating. I was like yelling at the screen. Why you instigating?
Yeah.
That was me, son.
Yep.
That was me, son. It wouldn't be going down like that.
Yeah, every hood.
There's a lot of one of the funniest things because the shit is this. It's dope. I like it. There's some funny shit though. Like how calm y'all are when the guns is drawn is hilarious. Nigga, the guns is drawn. It's like, oh, so that's how you want to play it? All right.
Son, this is what you going to do, son?
You are very diplomatic when you come through. It's some funny moments. It's like, listen, I know he shot at you, almost killed you and all that, but that's my cousin.
We got to squash that.
Are we good? The shit is very funny, man. Mm-hmm. It's a dope series.
Thank you.
What's your favorite whip you hopped out of in that? Because you've been through a few whips.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know, man.
That's a wild question. Nah, I'm saying I'm out here looking for a car.
Yeah, I think my man.
Did a nice.
Yeah, it's been a couple. It's been a couple good ones.
Kelly Blue Book review.
Exactly. I'm trying to see what's cracking.
It's been a couple.
They always be like, yeah, it's a rental. No.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what you said. I'm trying to get like you. Nah, it's a rental.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Man.
Nah, but so like you said, you in Bed-Stuy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I live in Bed-Stuy, but I didn't get there till when was that? 2002.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So of course it was a totally different Bed-Stuy from what everybody told me. Oh man, this block right here used to be mm-hmm. And such live right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? What do you see as how would you describe Bed-Stuy then versus Bed-Stuy now?
I mean, yeah, you know, it definitely changed. I mean, like, you know, of course, I think it's a good thing, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, more people, you know, it's becoming more multicultural. You know what I'm saying? And that's cool, man, because, you know, at the end of the day, like, the Star was a madhouse, man. You know, like, back in the days, the Star was crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to think, I think about, you know, the mothers and the grandmothers that walk around, they want to be safe. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to be walking to the store and you get shot by like a straight bullet. It's like people running around, even though it still happens, you know what I'm saying? Of course, mm-hmm. But granted, it's different now. You know what I'm saying? Like it's more police, which is not, I can't say it's a good thing or a bad thing, but the parents feeling more safer than they were back then. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we got to take the good with the bad. You know what I'm saying? The property value is going up, of course, because, you know, becoming multicultural. You know what I'm saying? But I think, I'm cool with it. You know what I'm saying? Right.
No doubt.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt.
What you think of, we also talked about, what do you think of rap now? And as far as New York goes, but in particular, Brooklyn, it's been like a resurgence of Brooklyn MCs. And the way they sound may be way different than how they sounded in the 90s, even in, you know, mm-hmm. the early 2000s. What do you think has changed that? What do you think about it, the sensibility, you know, things of that nature? And what do you feel, how do you feel like you fit in with that musically?
I think, well, music just changed, period. Like, it's just, we got to just move with the times. Like, you know, you listen to the 70s music, it's just different from the 80s, 90s. I think music is going to change. So, you know, I think that the rappers in, not right now in New York, you know, I think they just adapt into the change. Or what, like, some people are not, you know, they just stuck in the 90s or whatever, and that's cool. You know, I like 90s hip-hop as well, you know what I'm saying? You know, you got the dude Dave East, he give me, like, a little New York sound, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I feel like he with the 90s era type of hip hop. He make that. But I also like, you know, the new dude like Panda. He's from my hood. You know what I'm saying? Designer. So, you know, I like that as well. You know what I'm saying? He sound like one of the South guys. But it's all like music is just changing now. You got to deal with it. You know what I'm saying? It's not no, you can't just get and just be stuck in your ways. Right. Like, yo, I don't, you know, trying to have this little, you know, like anti new music. You can, you know what I mean? But, you know, it's going to keep moving, you know what I mean? So
you got to stay in the past like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm in my 30s, so I've been in that point to where, you know, I grew up on like 80s and 90s mm-hmm. hip-hop. So there's that point to where you have to make this decision if you're going to be one of them stalwarts that's like, I only listen to shit, you know, or you're going to just, mm-hmm. I will keep it 100 with you, though. A lot of this shit I don't understand.
Absolutely.
And I'm at the point now, age-wise, where I'm not even going front no more. It might be a couple years ago if I was at a party. You know what I mean? You out here single and shit, and there's pretty young girls dancing to fucking Rich Homie Quan or something. You might act like you really appreciate it more than you do. I'm at the point now, man, listen, I don't really all the way understand it. I respect it. I salute it. You know, and I'm all for progression, but I don't feel like I got a vote in it as
much.
Right.
I have a 15-year-old, so he keep me, you know what I'm saying, he keep the Brooklyn rap on deck. You know what I'm saying? I didn't even know it was that many rappers from Brooklyn. And it's like every day, he showed me some shit yesterday about some kids from Canarsie, you know what I'm saying? That's like, with them, it's like, they're all about the Brooklyn rappers. They don't, you know what I'm saying, he don't listen to a whole lot of, he listen to, you know, some of the main ones, but on his day-to-day, on his SoundCloud, it's all about the Brooklyn rapper that's 15, 16
years old. I'm out the loop then, because I don't even, I mean, when you said Brooklyn rappers, I'm like, all right, I could think of a few off the head.
It's a whole...
I mean, I know on the underground, of course, like, you know, we always going to have people that got talent, you know what I'm saying? Right. But on a level of just, you know, just getting that publicity or whatever, I see that, you know, we got the Maino, we got Fab, of course, you know what I'm saying? Right. We got
Troy Ave,
you know what I'm saying?
Then, like you said, you got
Manolo.
But then 2 Milli is out of this bunch. What I'm talking about, where he called out the Milli Rock shit way before. And I'm like, I don't know if that's going to really go.
That went.
I was in another city. I heard it. I was in Baltimore. I heard it. I was like, oh shit.
Nah, Millie, that went.
So I had to go back and report to him, like, yo,
exactly.
It's gone.
Exactly.
you called that.
Yep. You used to be able to call it.
Yeah.
Because you can see it coming. I read about it. I hear about it on the podcast. Oh, wow, that's interesting. Sounds like it's in my neighborhood. That's what's up, man. Oh shit.
What's next for the show?
Season 2, we filming right now, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, we got a couple new characters coming in, a couple good ideas, keep them twists going. We moving, we working.
Is there anybody that you maybe reached out to when you were filming the first season and they was like, nah, I ain't with the acting shit, and now they saw it and like, can you give me a little role?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Are you going to be doing any of that, having some names in there, or are you going to just keep it?
No, we got a couple people reached out, you know what I'm saying? Okay. We got a couple of good new cast members coming in just for, you know, get their little cameos. It's been a couple of good people that's really shouting us out, you know, on the level of just reaching out, like, yo, supporting the movement, and, you know, if you want to give me a little walkthrough or whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's cool, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying, I would rather, I don't want to have too many names. I want to just, you know, I wanted to just always be like, this group of nobodies, and I want us to just all do our thing, you know what I mean? Like, we just going to be the underdogs, and let's just come about, you know, together, and, you know.
Right.
I'd rather do it like that. But it's cool just get the support from the, you know, certain celebrities and all of that stuff. It's cool that they, you know, the, you know, got his, you know, we reached you got that, you know, people watching. It's a good feeling, you know what I'm saying?
If you need me to walk through, I'll do it, if that's what you're saying.
That's my man.
Man, the shit is great. What are you excited about with season 2? Anything that we should be excited about? Anything you want to tease? You know what I mean? Like,
what am I
promo,
excited
look
about
for this?
Oh, well,
you know the story, obviously.
Yeah, that's it. Look for the same Respect Life. I think we want to, I definitely want to push the envelope a little further than what I've been pushing it, you know what I'm saying? I feel like we touched on certain things, and I know I caught a flag for certain things that we touched on in the first season, so I definitely want to keep that energy right there, and I want to catch more flack for pushing the envelope further.
What you catch flack for?
I mean, in the beginning, oh my gosh, the homosexuality thing, you know, y'all got faggots and y'all thin and that. Yeah, you know, that's just what it's going to be. You know what I'm saying? I was with that. I was like, you know, yeah, we got that in here.
And if
anybody got a problem with that, it's like, you know, you just got to look in the mirror, man. This is America, man. This is the world we live in. You know what I'm saying? So I don't understand what's the beef, but. You know, you watched it, and that's cool. Thank you for watching that. You know, we're going to have more of that in season 2 as well. So, you know, if you didn't like it, you're going to hate it or either love it. You know what I'm
saying? Like you said, that's every hood. Yeah. That's your cousin. You know what I'm saying?
That's just in the world.
That's the world.
It's
that's
not life. Even about any type of demographic. Like, that's just the world we live in. Anywhere you go, you're going to get that. So, you know, if you just got a problem with that, you got a problem. It's just something that you need to, you know.
Deal with yourself.
Yeah, that's on you personally. So, it's cool.
That's what's up. I don't know if we saw them. you talked a lot about it when you went to see your cousin. You always say, I'm going over my auntie's house. I'm going to check my auntie.
Yeah, yeah.
Did we ever see her?
No.
Hilarious. I'm like, where auntie at?
Main mother. I see her. Main mother.
Where, yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
He always come to the door.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah, Shane. She was in the house.
Does auntie exist?
She in the house.
Does auntie? Is somebody campaigning to play auntie in season 2? Like, yo, I'm saying.
Because I can put on a wig.
You already auntie.
I know auntie.
Auntie.
But does his auntie actually exist?
You know, she exists in the show.
Okay.
She always in the house.
The invisible auntie. The invisible, she like the gooch.
Like on Home Depot, the guy that you just never see his face or whatever. Yeah. I mean, yeah, man.
But oh, yeah. Wilson.
Yeah.
She
like the gooch from Different Strokes.
Yeah, exactly.
Invisible bully.
Word.
Oh, man. This shit was good. It was a good interview. I'm like, we're going to talk our shit now. If you want to kick it, we're going to just talk about what's going on in the world today.
Not a problem.
All right.
What's happening this week?
What's happening this week? You showed me this Rihanna situation.
You seen the Rihanna video?
No.
She got two videos.
He was just telling me about it. You know what I mean? Like, she got two. I ain't seen none of them yet,
though. She got a double whammy.
She got the dance hall version. You know, they're in the club doing the thing.
Uh-huh.
And then they got part two,
which is the titty version. Let's be honest. That's what you said. Did you see it, Pop?
Yeah.
Y'all seen them nipples.
Yeah.
Some nips on fleek out there.
So she got the version where her and Drake just at the house, just them two. And then it's just all about her singing the song, and then she got on a see-through shirt.
She ticking for him, and he just standing there trying not to look too creepy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But
you don't even see him.
You see a couple moments where he's like, you know, it's one of those looks. Mm-hmm. It's interesting.
Well, we all been in that moment.
Of course.
After the club, y'all back at the house, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
She want to dance, and you like, come on now. What we waiting on?
She was giving them work. She was giving them work in the dance. Like, the shit definitely transitioned how it would really transition.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
I was not feeling his, like, sweatsuit.
The OVO branded sweatsuit.
No, I like it.
What you called it?
It was just too Aniche? Hot.
Looked like an Aniche sweatsuit.
It was too hot. You can't go to a dance hall party with sweats on.
All the way zipped up.
All the way up.
Now you go to a dance hall party with sweats on.
Sweatpants, a hoodie.
Okay, yeah, well, you know.
He didn't have on a tracksuit. He had on, like, a proper sweatsuit.
Yeah.
So, you know, I fuck with it, Vidi. I fuck with both of them, you know what I'm saying? I like how... I guess his director X now, but I know him as Lil X.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like how he direct. You know what I'm saying? I like that he show a lot of details in the dances, in the gestures, you know what I'm saying? He pay attention to
the thrusting.
Cultural things that you actually pay attention to in real life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? When I shoot, I like to shoot like that too. So
that's what's up.
I fucks with that.
Yeah, it puts you there.
Puts you all the way there, and you paying attention to things that you really see. Cause when you up on somebody, you don't see the whole fucking room. You just see the arch in her back.
Especially when if it's you, she giving work to.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's what you remember. Exactly. Like when that shit was, you know, the choreography was we used to fuck choreography. It was very like, you know what I mean? Cause listen, if that was any other dude, you have to stop down a couple to like, my dick got hard again. Can I get a second, please?
Hold up.
I didn't know it was gonna be grinding for this long.
You got to pull yourself together.
Shit.
I couldn't be a regular.
Give me a couple
extra.
Minutes, I'll be right back.
Champagne Poppy knows those hips.
Yeah, it was definitely a text after the video shoot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got an interesting chemistry, the two of them, you know what I'm saying? So that was cool. That was something, you know, that came across the computer.
Hey, it's your boy Ocho, man, of the Ocho Cinco and Dukes podcast. Check out our podcast to hear my thoughts on sports, life, relationships, and the number one thing that means the most to me, love. Find new and archived episodes of the Ocho Cinco and Dukes podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and TuneIn.
What about your man, though, from 60 Minutes?
Oh, yeah. What's my man's name?
No.
Steve Croft.
Oh, my God.
What he do?
He's the, you've seen him before. He's one of the lead anchors on 60 Minutes. Now, this man cheated on his wife with his mistress. Got a black mistress. And he straight sipping champagne out of ass, like pouring champagne through her butt cheeks. And, like, just looking like he just won game 6.
They got footage of that?
No,
footage, but it's a
correspondence
that they got from the National Enquirer had.
He's an older white gentleman.
Yes, Steve Croft.
That needs to be real. He's an older white gentleman, and he's a savage.
And he's, but he, you know, on 60 Minutes, he's like a serious.
Yeah.
So on Respect Life.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So I saw him the other night. He came on. I was like, yo, I can't even look at this dude the same.
That's Steve Croft. You've seen his face before.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You know, a trustworthy news face. You know what I mean? But he gets it in.
My man, he went crazy.
They had some loose text messages. Mm. He was like, one sexy session. You know, he was like, miss you and all that goes with it. Mm. Especially my favorite tastes and colors.
Mm. Pink and brown.
Hey, yeah.
Bong. So he out there. Bong.
He out there. He living life.
That's
pink
man.
And brown.
Like that pink and brown.
Then what he said, he has some other shit. He has
some zingers.
Working late, just ordered out, would rather be eating your pudding.
Oh, okay.
Pulled the little Cosby, you know what I mean? Slap pudding.
Yeah, he on it.
He on it, mm-hmm. You know. See, this is the thing. I'm not mad at this shit.
I think it
gives a little bit more dimension.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like, now, fuck with him on the news. Gives a little bit. And I like the fact that sometimes when you hear about cats doing shit like this, the text messages let you down. They be a little benign. They not mm-hmm. really going too hard in the paint.
This is graphic.
He's
savage.
Going for it.
Yeah, he
69.
He knows what he wants.
69. I like that shit.
Yeah.
They might need to move him to a new show, though.
Yeah, he might get his own spinoff show. He might get a little later.
I'm going to start a petition that they put him off 60 Minutes.
60 yeah. Minutes, you know what I'm saying? You don't really hear the news from him.
Right. Oh, man. That shit is crazy. What else was we just talking about in here? What's going on with you, man? What else is...
Everything's good, man. We working on, you know, Respect Life got me busy right now, man.
Yeah.
That's it.
Crazy in the hood now? Shout it out, Mello. You shout it out heavy.
Yeah.
Can you go to the bodega without being bothered?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You know.
Every you get now, love?
A lot of love in the hood.
Okay.
A lot of love in the hood.
Okay, cool.
So are you shooting in the same like neighborhood where you live?
For the most part, we're doing, but we spreading out. We doing different locations right now. We pretty much trying to be all over with it, but we still keeping it based in that building that you normally, you know, main crib over there, you know,
what building is that?
That's the courtyard. That's over there by right there by Marcus Garvey Boulevard.
Okay.
Yeah, it's right there.
It looked like it had the courtyard thing, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You don't see that when you're just driving by.
Yeah, yeah. You
no,
see the outside.
Like
you see the outside.
Different city.
I'm like, what the fuck is that?
The inside, for
sure. But yeah, that's what
when y'all shot in Brownsville, that was right where I used to live, right by the leasing office, right there.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah,
right next to 230.
Oh, okay.
Right by 284, yeah.
Yeah, we over there with
that's
it,
that's my man. That's a funny dude.
Yeah,
the
Billy.
The dude with Billy. The do-rag, yeah.
Brownsville Bill. Bill, yeah.
Bill funny
oh, yeah,
shit.
Yeah,
he get love out there. We get love in the Ville right now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Brownsville.
They love it.
Mello, when you coming through, man, you gonna hit me.
Yeah,
his man hated you for no reason.
Word.
Mello is busy as fuck.
I'm trying not to fucking throw too many spoilers in it, but I definitely want
to
talk that talk.
Yeah, spoiler alert in there.
Fuck it. Yeah. I mean, you go still enjoy it. We ain't all the way fucking it up.
Yeah.
There's some. I got a couple questions, though. All right, this is one question. This is because then you get your own little conspiracy shit.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, fuck the whole shit up. I can't do that. Your man who you help out, right, towards the end. You help out your man due to some unfortunate
mm-hmm.
wellness situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when it went from, you know, unfortunate to bad,
yeah.
Initially, I thought he skirted with the pain. Was that any way to be a misdirect? Because for a hot sec, I got two questions about that. The help that you gave him, was it real?
Yeah.
Okay, because mm-hmm. I thought for you know what I'm talking about.
For a second,
I thought it might not have been real.
I don't
real.
Know what you're talking about.
I like this, but he know what I'm talking about. Right, I don't want to fuck it up. This, I don't want to spoil this shit, but your man, you know your man, that guy. We had the conversation, man. You talked about it. Dude, mm-hmm. that got sick.
Uh-huh. Oh, right.
And
okay,
then,
cool. Now, I'm up to speed.
Yes.
Dude got sick. Mm-hmm. And then immediately something happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I was like, wait a minute. That shit was very timely that it happened. This was real convenient. So I didn't know for a second, but it looked like it's official.
Yeah.
It's a.
That's another dimension that you added in there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. It's a reality, man. We live with. You know what I mean?
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh shit!
Respect your motherfucking life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
How did you come up with the title of the show?
The title came from Bill, Brownsville Bill, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. When he was younger, you know what I'm saying? Back in, like, way back in the days. Billy was a young kid or whatever, you know what I'm saying? We was younger, and one of the OGs in the hood, rest in peace, Bossy, you know what I'm saying? He was a real diesel, mm-hmm. intimidating demeanor. His whole persona was just intimidating, you know what I'm saying? He was an older guy.
Yeah.
We the younger guys or whatever, you know what I mean? And Billy popped off at the mouth with him, you know what I mean? You know, just being a regular little mm-hmm. badass, you know what I'm saying? And it got crazy the way, you know, that old dude was like, yo, you know what, man? This you little niggas problem out here. And he had some gloves. You know the gloves without with the film. The finger's not on mm-hmm. me. Start putting the gloves on. Like, you little niggas don't respect life out here, man. You know what I'm saying? He was about to put hands on them. Uh-huh. Niggas broke it up and all that shit. So I wasn't there, but I kept, that story never, it never died. It never died. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it kept, it stuck with us for, you know, all the years. And when it's time to make the name, I was my man. And, you know, but I wish we named the shit. We had a couple names. And, you know, like, yo, respect life. And, you know, we just, we thought about the story. Like, oh, remember Boss back in the days? Like, why are we going to run with that? You know what I'm saying?
He took that message.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Message stayed with him.
Hell yeah. That should stay with all of us. You know what I mean? You little niggas don't respect life, man. And that's true, you know?
A lot Something of that really stands out to me is the chandelier Sia. The song.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
the theme
yeah.
song. So how, because the show is, like, so hard. And then this song is, like, you know, not hard at all. So how did you come up with, like, where did, using that instrumental?
It was just a selection, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I like the beat. So I just ran on it. You know what I'm saying? That's it. It was just, the beat was cool. Mm-hmm. The instruments was dope. So I just wanted to run on it, do a little 30-second joint for the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's you rapping?
Yeah.
Oh, no doubt. What you learned most from doing season one?
What I learned, well, you know, it's pretty much the, like, people that I didn't grow up with, like, people that I casted into the show, that, you know, that I did, that, you know, I knew from, like, years, and, mm-hmm. you know, we had our little encounters from, you know, throughout the years or whatever, and when we do the show, it's like personalities, man, you know, people don't act the way, like, they not who you expect them to be sometimes, not to say good or bad, but, you know, like, you'd be surprised, like, damn, I never knew you was like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, we have these conversations or whatever. It's like, damn, you know, like, you get to work with these guys. You get to talk to them a lot more now because we're working together. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things I learned. Like, just people are, you know, it's a colorful cast I have. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's a good and a bad thing.
You
so.
Got to kill them off. You have to kill this nigga off. Nigga got on the computer. Shit, this nigga got to die.
It's all love.
Respect Spike.
you don't respect your role.
It's cool.
Nah, for real. That's always what you're going to deal with crews, though.
Yeah.
And when you talk about production and you round people 12 hours or whatever,
you get to know them. Like, you get to know them more than you know.
Right.
Like,
and then especially if you shoot in multiple days in
mm-hmm,
a row,
mm-hmm.
and they get what they call production fever. That's the actual thing. Mm. People go kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be the ones you least expect.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what's your writing process like?
I mean, it's pretty much like it's pretty natural, man. I could think of, you know, I'm in the crib or I'm outside and just things come to me and I just, you know, I get a lock in, just, you know, I'm gonna put these things together. It's, I don't know, it's like music, I guess. You know what I'm saying? Same thing. Like, I just, it comes to me mm-hmm. and I just, you know, I just write them down and put it together and, you know, send the lines out.
So what was it that, because you said for a minute you were pump faking a little bit. You had the ideas, your people would come together, put some shit together. What was it where you was like, all right, fuck it, we're going to pull the trigger? And what was it that clicked, that turned to where now you executing?
I mean, because, you know, after like two, I got the equipment. It's like, damn, I had this mic. I remember buying a mic and all of that, you know what I'm saying? And I never used it. It's like 2 years went by. I'm like, yo, man, let's try it out, man. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. We done wrote this thing. Me and my man, I mean, we stayed out in the park. I'm talking about, like, hours went by. We mm-hmm. till the morning came. We writing this little movie, whatever. Uh-huh. And we never did it, though. And then I tried it again, short film. And it's like, you know, let's just do it, man. Let me just do this shit now. You know what I'm saying? And I did it. I guess frustration and just saying, like, yo, I got this equipment. I bought it for something. I don't want to just buy this stuff in vain. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I just wanted to do it, man.
What camera did you get?
T2i.
No doubt.
Canon T2i. Mm-hmm. And I got a couple different lenses, so, you know, that pretty much helps out.
So you just shot the whole thing with one camera, the whole?
Absolutely.
Wow. Damn, so that show, you could do fucking whatever. That shit look like. No, I know. Whatever. You know. You're talking to a known procrastinator right now. I pull the trigger every so often.
Yeah.
It's definitely. So I like to hear that shit where people are like, you know what? Fuck that shit. Mm-hmm. And then
it
turns into this.
Yep.
What? So, go ahead.
Oh, I'm curious about like locations. I know you shoot in like a bodega, you shoot in a club. So when you approach these people who own these places, did anybody give you any like, you know, hesitance, or was everybody pretty receptive to being a part of the project?
Yeah, I get the location, but I don't ask. Like, it'd be people that, you know, like, yo, you know, by the way, boom, you know, I got a spot over here if you ever want to come shoot. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's now it's like that now. So before, we just stuck it, we kept it in the hood. So I didn't have to ask somebody because we in the building, we in the hood. So there ain't nobody to ask. Like the bodega dude right there, like, you know, I asked him, like, yo, son, we going to come in here and shoot. Yeah. He done seen us for years. But so as the show started growing in popularity, it became a situation like, yo, you know, I got a spot over here. You want to come? I got a club. I got a strip club over here. I got this over there. I got a, you know, I got. So now I don't have to. I don't really ask unless I really, really see a spot that I really like. Yo, I need to shoot in here. But I know that's money involved. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I try to keep it on my budget. Like the budget is pretty much limited. You know what I'm saying? I like it like that because, you know, we try to make something out of nothing. You know what I'm saying?
But the bodega dude, he's like getting the show now.
Yeah.
He got lines.
He feeling himself. He a star.
You don't have to pay for a sandwich anymore, I would hope.
Nah, I don't like nothing for free. But I'm sure he look out. He likes my man, yeah. But I don't like free stuff.
When you shooting shots, like when you shooting across the one guy shooting the other guy from across the street, like do you have people that are actually holding things back, or is it very guerrilla running gun? Any type of like outdoor where you're gonna have to be out, do you lock down the perimeter, or is it like some real guerrilla shit like, yo, ain't nobody out here, we got 5 minutes to get this shit off?
Well, when we first started the show, that's exactly what we did. And it was always like that airy feeling, like, you know, like, yo, son, this gotta be a one and done because we can't play around. You know, you get killed out here for this right here. They're not inoperable, but they still look very real. You know what I'm saying? So the first three or four episodes, we was running and gunning until it was an episode where the kid gets locked up. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if you remember, but the real D's was out there.
Right,
then he really got locked up that day. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was really, we just kept the footage, you know what I mean? I felt really, really bad. This is a kid that just came out. His first day coming out here, he was like, yo, I want to be on the show.
Wow.
I'm like, yo, coming through. You know what I'm saying? He had the gun on him, you know what I mean? Yeah.
He got locked up for the acting? Or
no, he got locked up for the gun.
For the gun.
For the gun that was part of the
shoot.
You
see the cop, he looking at the gun. He like, yo, this look just like my gun. You know what I'm saying? I don't care what y'all doing out here. You can't be out here. You know what I mean? So anyway, he went down. I went down there, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, maybe let him know we doing a movie, whatever. You know what I mean? We doing a web series. And the police actually in that neighborhood, you know, they seen me from like years just filming video. They seen me around, so they know what I'm doing. So they were like, yo, you know, like, don't, we could have killed that boy out there. You know what I'm saying? So he came right out. Right. He came right out. You know what I'm saying? So from now on, from that point on, when we need to do gunshot, like shots outside, I got, you know, the sergeant from the 81st precinct. Okay. He's like, yo, call me. I make sure. So, you know, when we did the scene, I think when Billy ran down on Maine, and this man, he killed the boy, shot him on Maine. Right. We had the police out there. They locked the block down for us and all of that.
Okay.
So, now anytime we want to do that, we could be cowboys now because they'll come and they lock the block down for us. They make sure that, you know, so.
That's one thing about the 81st precinct. They do got guys over there who do look out when you're trying to do something.
I'm sure there's police in every precinct. I know you got the effed up police and all of that too, but you know, I'm sure, I mean, it's a good cop in every precinct, I think. You know what I'm saying?
I ain't had too much dealing with too many police, but
yeah,
I live in the 81st precinct, so we've done a lot of shit over there where they looked out, you know, sergeant over there come through make sure everything's straight.
that's our district. So, you know, they 81st is over there with us, and the 79th, but 81st is who deals with us.
Mm-hmm. I worked in background casting, and I think when you're in New York, everything changes. So we dealt with a lot of like cops who, they were cops, you know, and that was their job, but they also did like a lot of background acting. Mm-hmm. So I think that they just know it's like an element of, if you need a cop in the scene, like, you know, I'm down.
They wasn't, I don't think they're going to do that for, but I remember when we did that particular scene, they seen the cameras on, they like, yo, I remember seeing them after, like, yo, you kept that footage, we gonna be in it. Know what I'm saying? You know, now
my
people know.
Now they on there, like, you know, they ride by, they're like, yo, boom, yo, next season, I seen that episode, that shit was dope. I got my family out in down south, they love the show. So, you know, it's different.
That was me. putting that kid in the back of the car.
He's going to put that on his IMDb.
Arresting officer. They have them.
Exactly.
You said what?
I said they have them. They have those uniforms. Like, I got my winter uniform from 1990. Wow. If you need that, like, the real New shit. York undercover vibe.
Oh man.
Oh shit.
Oh man. Well, listen, it was great having you here, man.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
We definitely got to ask all our fucking questions. It feels like real. You ever watch that that SNL sketch with Chris Farley? We real excited about shit. Like, I'm a fucking fan of this shit. And if you listen to this podcast, there's a lot of shit that I just translate as this ass.
That's regular shit.
This shit cut through. You're killing it right now.
Thanks a lot.
You know, it's really good. And if you haven't seen it, y'all should go to YouTube now and check out Respect Life. It's definitely worth your time.
Thank you.
Sure. You'll just, like, make sure you got time.
Yeah,
you got time today.
It's gonna suck you in.
Yeah,
and you gonna want to know what's next. So
exactly,
you're not gonna be able to get away from your computer.
Yeah, y'all left a lot at the end.
Yeah,
a lot of unsolved mysteries.
Absolutely.
Well, cliffhangers and all that. What's next after season two? Like, what else do you want? What do you see yourself doing in movies, music, and beyond?
Well, yeah, movies, music. Well, as far as like, I definitely want to continue the music, of course. I mean, okay.
Anything coming out?
A couple of joints I'm dropping right now just to stay active, you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Nothing solid, you know what I'm saying? I'm just going to drop a couple of videos more than likely and a couple of joints, you know what I mean, just to stay active. But yeah, I think after season two or three, I would like to do a Respect Life movie, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, just kind of a culmination of all of the good things that I had, like, you know, just the key points of every episode or whatever, you know what I'm saying? You can't put the whole thing in there, but, you know, I definitely want to try something like that. Just maybe, maybe not, but you know, it's definitely an idea of mine, and you know, I'll see what else happens in the future.
That's what's up. That's what's up. Where can the people get in touch with you?
Yeah, on Twitter, Instagram, and on Facebook, you can get me at Boom Pacino, BoomPacino, and my email is BoomPacino@gmail.com.
For sure,
Boom
Pacino.
L, where you gonna be at this week?
In my damn skin in Brooklyn.
At the 306 late.
At the 306 late. You can catch me, you know, on Snap and on the gram. L_Clay on the Snap. Southern Dang. L on the gram. Or just, you can go to lclay.com.
Dang.
No doubt.
Muhammad, where you going to be at?
I'm going to be in Charlotte, CIAA. We are shooting out there. And then we'll be back to finish out season one of 306 late with L. Clay.
306 late.
So y'all keep an eye out on that.
For sure, right. For sure.
Word up. And then on, you know, you can always follow me on the Snap, Thorough TV, ThoroTV. Yep.
Dope. Tune in. He gives lessons on Friday.
Friday Miami lessons.
Miami Friday. That's what's up. Well, listen, I'm going to be doing a bunch of shows in the city. I don't have my calendar right in front of me, but I know I'm at the Stand a bit. I'm at Stand Up New York. I'm at the Cellar, the Midnight Show Sunday. I got a few other places, so just go to DamianLemon.com. You'll see my schedule. And, yeah, shit. As always, tell a friend to tell a friend, and even your enemies, to get in the conversation. We out.
Holla.